Are you excited this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. God is so awesome, isn't he? Do you love the presence of the Lord? Just abiding in the presence of the Lord, letting the glory of God fill your heart and your life. Oh, how awesome it is. Well, we have been talking about being grounded to launch. In order to be used of God, we must be grounded in the Word of God, grounded in the ways of God, and operating according to God's divine design. God has a schematic for life. Have you ever seen a schematic diagram before? And it has all the little details so you'll know exactly how things were put together, how things were designed to work. And our lives are part of the workings of God. God has created us to be a reflection of himself. And he's given us the Word of God as a schematic for life, a schematic for living. And as we apply the principles of God's Word, we are grounded in his ways, and we begin to operate according to the way we were designed to work and to live. And we have an experience that is the fruit of that working of the schematic in our lives. And so we are now talking in March about being relentless. Relentless. Don't you love the idea of being relentless? Oh yeah, hallelujah. Your phone is relentless. Did you know that? It's constantly working, sending those electronic circuits through the circuit board, processing information and doing it. It's relentless at that. Would you like a phone that's not relentless? No, you don't, because you never know if it's gonna work or not. You don't know if it's gonna do what you want it to do, what it's supposed to do. It's not like you're coming up with some bizarre new thing. It's created to do this. So you just want it to do what it's supposed to do. Isn't that right? Well, what do you think God is saying about his people? God is looking at us. He says, I created them for this, to be in fellowship with me, in communion with me. I created them so that they may see and operate in the demonstration of the Spirit of God in my presence, that they would be an example of what glory is like, that Christ and his life might shine through them. And so he's given us the schematic just in case things kind of aren't working the way they should. We'll know how to put things back together, how to bring things into order. And when we do it, his kingdom will come. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. And you and I, we, wherever we go, the kingdom of God is at hand. Where we place our feet, it becomes holy ground. Why? Because Christ is in us. He's in us. That's why you have so much love, so much joy, so much peace. You're so patient, so kind. You've got all of these great attributes. It's just Jesus shining and living brightly within you. And he is relentless. Oh, he is relentless. And that is why it's so awesome to be a child of God and to know him and to grow in him in that way. And so today, I was thinking about how we, as the people of God, are able to be relentless, how we're able to experience this ongoing working and moving of God. And it's so important for us to be able to have that experience that I decided to look it up. And as I looked through the scripture, I found there are people who demonstrated this idea of being relentless. And I would like to begin with this question. Have you ever worn a weighted jacket? Have you ever worn one of those weighted jackets? They use them for exercise, or people wear them. I think they sell them at Dick's over here in the mall. But you can get these jackets that are weighted. I know you've ever used a weighted blanket, Right? Oh, yeah, you like that, huh? Yeah, oh, yes. Oh, well, just don't get one too heavy. But the idea of a weighted vest, it's designed to help build your strength. It's to help make you strong. And oftentimes, you know, when you're wearing these heavy things, maybe you do exercise, you weightlift, maybe you walk, you do walking exercises and you carry the little hand weights, you know, as you walk to add extra weight in order to help you increase your core strength, the strength in your body. And this is an interesting idea because you don't really want to wear this all the time, do you? No, because after a while you get tired. It can wear you out. But at the same time, when you take it off, you might be so strong you don't know your own strength. You know, you're just going to be bouncing along. And that's how life can be when we are dealing with trials, with difficulties. It adds weight to your life. But when God liberates you, when you have a breakthrough, it lifts off you and you have a little more strength. You're able to have a little more of that pep in your life, in your approach to things. And I would like to use as a theme today, preserving the pedigree. Preserving the pedigree. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask, oh God, that you would strengthen us from within, that you would enable us to be relentless in our pursuit of you, in our trust in you, in our obedience to you, and that you would know us, oh God, in ways that no one else does. And you would reveal it then to us so we might know ourselves and become more like you, aligning ourselves to the schematic of your word so that we can experience the life you've intended for us to experience. And Lord, our desire is to honor you in all that we say and do. And we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would drive out every hindering spirit and thing that would distract us and keep us from receiving of the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, preserving the pedigree. The pedigree is the very thing that is being passed on in our lives. I know you've heard of pedigree dogs, right? Or pedigree animals. That means the pure line. They're pure. They're original. They haven't been crossed bred, but they are faithful to their original DNA. And they breed and they preserve that pedigree. Well, God wants to preserve his pedigree in you and in me. And when Christ comes into us, he preserves the pedigree. He begins to work in us. He begins to transform us. He gives us new life. Old things are passed away. Everything begins to become new. And he creates in us a clean heart. And we begin to align ourselves to the will and the ways of God. And then God gives us a mission and a purpose. And he says to go into all the world to preach the gospel. Not just preach the gospel, but make disciples. And to enable people to know him even as we know him. And that we would begin to preserve that pedigree by passing on the Spirit of God from one person to the next. We share the testimony. We share the story of what Christ has done. Relentlessly. We do it relentlessly. That means we just, every opportunity, we share, we testify, we do what the will of the Lord is in those moments. And so what is relentlessness? Well, it's this idea of perseverance. Throughout the Word of God, you see the words perseverance. That's being relentless. Steadfastness. That means holding true and holding fast to the things that God has called you to do and the person he's made you to be in those moments, in those situations. We have to be relentless at holding on, and we have to have enduring faith. We have to be able to trust in God, trust and know that He is with us. He is the very source that unctions us to move forward and to do the things that we need to do. And as we step out there against the resistance, because the enemy is doing everything he can to get you to quit, to give up, to just go, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. Oh, that's Satan's job. That's what he does. But you have to be able to persevere. You have to be able to press through with enduring faith, being steadfast in the ways of the Lord. Relentlessness is this idea of having steadfast faith and obedience to God despite the culture that sets us apart as being the righteous of God. When we do this, when we're steadfast, when we're obedient to God, the culture is being the culture, doing all the things that it does contrary to God. We're set apart because we're doing things according to divine schematic, according to the plan of God. And so our obedience ensures the survival of our lineage, the survival of the very Spirit of God that is working within us. It preserves the pedigree, and it serves as a testimony to the generation you're in. And we're all in this generation. 100 years ago, there was a different generation. But now those people have mostly died. Maybe there's a couple of them left. But there's a whole new set of people on the planet that don't know the power of God. They don't know the Word of God or the ways of God. And God is preserving the pedigree so that in every generation there are people who represent the kingdom of God. And we can be a witness to the world. And so our testimony serves as a witness to that generation, even if they don't receive it. They can't say they didn't know, they didn't hear, because God raised up people who had preserved the pedigree of God. And so in James 1:12, we begin here with this premise that the man who preserves or perseveres under trial is a blessed man. If you can persevere under trial, you're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. You're able to press your way regardless of the opposition, the challenges, the difficulties that you feel. You can persevere. It says once you have been approved, you will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Do you love Him? Do you love the Lord today? Well, the Word of God says, if you love me, follow my schematic. Follow my schematics. And when you love God, you'll be approved of God. And when the Spirit of the Lord is working within you according to the design plan of God, you will ultimately, at the end of life, one day when Christ is returning, do you know that Jesus is coming back? Hallelujah. And we are being prepared. The Word of God says we're like the bride who's preparing for the wedding day. And we are preparing for Christ's return. We are living according to His schematic, His plan. And there is a promise for us, the promise that He is coming. And we will receive the crown of life, not just 80 years or 90 or 100 years or maybe 120 years. If you eat your fruit and vegetables that aren't GMO modified, right? You just might, by the grace of God. But we're talking about all eternity. We will live as long as Jesus is alive. And He'll be alive forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, He will. So relentless faith is something we must have as a people of God. We have to know how to trust God. We have to know how to call upon Him for help in our time of need. We're looking to Him. We're leaning on Him. And we are to remain steadfast in our faith despite challenges and trials. Life is filled with trials. The reason life is filled with trials is because there is opposition to the schematic of God, the plan of God, to those who want to follow and carry out the will of God. Satan is working against you, and his job is to defeat you. Not only defeat you, destroy you. The Word of God says he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And there's nothing worse than those three things. And you and I have to be relentless in our faith in God. And so I would like to begin by talking about Noah, because Noah is someone who exemplifies these very principles that James is talking about. Now, Noah lived in Mesopotamia, which was this region around the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which is now called Iraq. How do you like that? And so here he is living in Iraq, and we all know that Noah built an ark, right? In the desert of Iraq. Think about that. When you see somebody building an ark, a large cruise ship-sized boat, in the desert of Iraq, what do you say about that person? My, this guy's a genius engineer. Look at the work he's doing. Is that what you say? No, you say, this guy's a lunatic. Who builds a boat in the sand? There's something wrong with this guy. And sometimes God is going to give you a mission that will seem like you're a lunatic. It will appear to others as if there's something wrong with you, that there's something that is not right. And you have to be able to persevere. This region that Noah was in was known for being an advanced civilization in his time, in those days. This was an area that was moving along technologically, and it was considered a place that you wanted to be. It was the happening area, the region. And there, maybe some of you who study ancient history know about the Sumerians and the Akkadians. These are these cultures that were known in their time for being at the top of their game. They were the metropolises of their day. And a lot of things happened. And these cultures, they were predominantly polytheistic, which means they worshiped multiple gods, and we still have that today. You know how people like to worship the sun god and the moon god, and they worship all these different entities and things that are out there. And we all know mythology, whether it's Greek mythology or some of these other ancient cultural mythologies. They're all out there. But this culture was not focused on the Lord. They worshiped everything. They worshiped the stars, and they were checking their horoscopes, and they were doing all kinds of stuff. And Noah was living a monotheistic life. He was living his life based on the schematic of God, the plan of God. And this made him unique. He seemed like somebody who was kind of out of his mind, especially once he starts building this ark. It says, God told me. God told me to build this ark in the desert. And people are like, yeah, sure, which God was that? Right? That's the lunatic God, right? The crazy God. Because who does this? And it made no sense. But yet, he persevered. He had relentless faith despite what the culture, the whole world around him was saying. And despite facing ridicule and disbelief, Noah persisted in building the ark as God commanded. He followed the command of God, the will of God. His faith and determination not only saved him, but it saved his family and the animals and all of those things that God told him to put on the ark. Everything was preserved from the flood. He preserved his pedigree. He preserved his pedigree, and I pray that you too are preserving your pedigree today, that you're preserving the pedigree of Christ and of God in your life, and you're passing this along. In Genesis 6:9, it tells us that these are the records of the generations of Noah, and Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. And you and I are called to walk with God. We are called to be blameless in our time. It doesn't say Noah was perfect. It said he walked with God, that he was blameless and that he was righteous, which means he did things according to God's schematic, God's plan. He followed the ways of the Lord. And when we do the same thing, you and I will also be considered righteous. That means we're doing things the right way. We're doing things the way they were designed to be done, the way they were made to operate and to work, and the way things are supposed to be. And that's what it means to walk with God. We walk with God. We interact with him. We're checking in to make sure that we're flowing at the right speed and we're doing things the right way. And so Noah's character and his close relationship with God set the stage for his obedience. He was the only righteous man on the planet. Think about that. Noah was the only righteous man on the planet. He was alone. You think you're alone when you go to work, and you go to work, well, you know. He was the only righteous man on the planet. He was the only one deemed righteous. Genesis 6:11 says, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and it was filled with violence. Filled with violence. Completely full of violence. And we think it's bad today. Back then, it was even worse, much worse. But Noah had faith in God, and he followed God's design plan. He did what the will of the Lord was. God told him what to do. It says that, verse 12, God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. All flesh, all flesh. Noah was the only one. And so Noah's obedience stood in stark contrast to the moral corruption and violence of his time, which highlighted his righteousness. It highlights his righteousness. So that tells us that even though you're not perfect, if you just do your best that you can, live your life according to God's divine plan, you will shine. Hallelujah. You will shine in the evil day. The world is so dark, it's so evil, that by you just in the little bit that you can do, the best you can do, man, you're going to just begin to stand out. And you are going to represent the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his ways. And thus, Noah did, verse 22, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. This can't be that hard, is it? All we have to do is do everything God says to do. Do it God's way. How hard can that be? Well, it's only hard if you've got your foot in the wrong culture, if you're surrounded by the wrong people. But if you can hold on to the Word of God and the truth, the truths of God, and you can persevere with relentless faith, then you can stand. You'll be able to shine. It's the Word of God tells us that it's better to pluck out an eye than to have two eyes and be doing the wrong thing. You and I, we have to understand there are certain things you may have to cut off if it's becoming a hindrance in your life, if it's causing you to come off of God's plan. There may be people you might have to back away from and say, look, you know, I can't be around these guys because they're the wrong influence in my life. When I was growing up, my parents would tell me, be careful who your friends are. Did your parents ever tell you that? Right? Be careful who your friends are. Don't make friends or don't enter into relationships, into contracts, into agreement with people who don't share your values and your mindset, the way that life that you want to live. And we all have to be able to have that wisdom so that we're walking in the ways of God. We need to surround ourselves with people persevering with relentless faith. And Noah, in Genesis 7:5, is said to have done all that the Lord has commanded him. This is what it means to love God. This is what it means to love God. You can't say that you love God if you don't keep his commandments. That's what Jesus said. So we have to do things God's way if we love him. Could you imagine being in a marriage relationship with somebody who didn't do anything that you asked them to do? Right? Men would be in trouble. Right? Men would be in trouble. Because wives, they're really good at this. Can you do this? I need you to do that. In fact, they don't even do it that nice. It's like, do this. Right? Do that. Go do this. Go do that. Right? No, no, no. It's not that bad. No. Are you sure it's not like that? All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. May the Lord be with you all. Hallelujah. Yes. You want to be around people who you can work with, who you can interact with. And God is saying, I want to fellowship with you, but we got to do things my way. Because I'm holy. Because I'm righteous. Because I'm just. And I'm fair. And so I can't do things any kind of way. God does things according to a divine design. The plan of God. And we are sharing life in him. And so we have to follow his plan. We have to preserve the pedigree. We have to follow the plan of God and do all that he's commanded us to do. Noah was completely obedient to God's instructions despite the enormity of the task of having to build this ark. That was a big job. It took him 100 years. And the scripture doesn't say God showed up every day to check on what he was doing. No. God just said, build the ark, told him what to do, gave him all of the information he needed, gave him all the resources, the supplies, and then he left. Pretty much, he just said, okay, have at it. You know how easy it is to get distracted from the things that God wants you to do if God doesn't show up for 100 years to say, are you done yet? Right? That's not an easy thing to be able to accomplish. It takes relentless faith, especially when you have people who are coming by. Hey, what are you doing? What is that? What do you mean it's going to rain? What is rain anyway? Right, water coming from the sky. Water doesn't come from the sky. What's the matter with you? It comes up from, like, it's dew that comes up from the ground. It doesn't, there's no such thing as rain. Water doesn't come down out of the sky. This guy's lost his mind. Hey, guys, look at this guy. He said he's building a boat in the desert. Look, he's out of his mind. And this guy is dealing with that for 100 years. Little kids mocking him. Hey, it's the crazy old man building a boat in the middle of the desert. Ah, ah. And everybody's talking about the man who's building a giant boat, biggest boat anybody has ever seen in the history of mankind, in the desert. Oh, they were mocking him. They were ridiculing him. They were making fun of him. This was insanity. This is crazy. And everybody, even scientists, were there. Whoa, what is this guy talking about? Rain? This guy doesn't know anything about science. This guy doesn't know anything about that. Rain from the sky. Oh, this is not how things work. All the philosophers came along and they said, oh, what God are you referring to? Oh, you know, this, the God of the heavens and the earth. Well, what about the sun God? What did he say? How about that moon God? You know, if you follow his horoscopes, are you building on the right horoscope day? I don't know, if I were to use those tools on the wrong day, you might find yourself having trouble. Did you check with your horoscope? And so there were all kinds of opinions, all kinds of ideas that were designed to hinder him. But these verses reiterate Noah's unwavering commitment to following God's commands. And you and I face that every day in our culture, in our life. And we too have to be able to be relentless at following God's commands, staying true to his promises and his words, and allowing him to manifest himself in the midst of our lives. Because when you're faithful to God, the blessings of God are naturally designed to flow through your obedience. It's part of the design plan. It's the way the schematic is designed to work so that you can have life in you. And this earned him favor to live. Hallelujah. Noah got favor to live because God said, oh, it's going to rain, baby. Ho, ho. I don't care what those scientists say. I don't care what the philosophers say. I don't care what all these people who claim to know everything say. I don't care what your neighbors say or the people on TV and the news and all that stuff. Oh, today, just in, Noah, ha, you remember him, the crazy man in the desert. Well, he's up to the next phase of building his ark. Says he's going to get every animal in the world to come. I think this guy's really lost his mind. More news at 10. Noah's... He was the big deal because it was a big deal. And so he's holding on to his faith in God. He's trusting in the Lord. He doesn't even have a brother to fellowship with to say, come on, brother, let's pray. Give me strength. I need strength. He's on his own. He is alone. Yet he persevered. Verse 1 of Genesis 7 says, then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark. He gets it done. The Lord says, go ahead in. He says, go ahead in. The good thing about Noah is he at least had a family who was willing to help. Hallelujah. You know it's great when you have a family that's willing to help. You know, it's priceless. It's priceless. You got somebody to help you. You say, son, could you hold that end of the board while I cut this? That's great. You don't have to hire him, right? Hallelujah. Says, you want to eat tonight, son? Grab that hammer. I think the zone valve in your side of the house may not exactly be functioning, right? But if you help me with this project, I think we can figure it out. You'll have heat tonight. So when you have people to help you, it's priceless. It's a beautiful thing. And Noah, he at least had his family. And God tells them to enter the ark and all your household. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, how beautiful is that? It didn't say his family was righteous. It said only Noah, only him. He was the only one. And I'm telling you, it is powerful when the man of the house follows the will and the plan of God, the schematic of the word of God. The whole house will benefit. The whole family will benefit. Everyone in the house will benefit because the glory of the Lord will be manifested through relentless faith, obedience. You will prosper in all your ways. God will cause things to work out for your good. That's what the word of God says. And so it says, you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. This whole time, Noah was the only one. And so Noah's faith and obedience directly led to the salvation of his family. His actions ensured their survival during the flood. And the unity and collective action of Noah's family working together as they followed his lead gave them life. Hallelujah. They prospered in life. Oh, there's nothing better than if you can get your house in order. If you can get husbands and wives working together and their children are pulling together along with the rest of the household. Everybody is in unity and in sync. The power of God will show up and flow and work in your house. God will do powerful things and you'll be able to stand. You won't have to worry about what the culture's saying, what the culture is doing, because you will be working together to fulfill the will of God, allowing the word of God to come to life. There's a blessing in following God's plan. In verse 7, it tells us, then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, they entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Well, God said it. Must have took them a little while to make up their minds that they needed to get in the boat. But when they saw that water rising, they said, ooh, okay, I guess we're going to get in the ark. Meanwhile, the rest of the people are going, hey, what's this coming out of the sky? There's water coming out of the sky. Hey, wasn't there that crazy guy building a boat in the middle of the desert? Didn't he say something about water coming out of the sky? You know, that crazy man, I don't pay him any mind. Ah, this is just some phenomena, you know, that's going on. You know, it's, you know, some weird happenings with the weather. Don't worry, it's temporary. This is not going to amount to anything. Don't worry. And all the experts came around. Oh, don't worry. It's just a unique weather pattern. Oh, don't worry. It's not a big deal. And then all of a sudden, the water is up to their necks. Now they're like, oh, my Lord, this guy, he's right. Let's get out there to see what this guy's doing with this boat. And there's Noah. Bah, bah, bah. Hey, Noah, let us in, let us in. Sorry, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. God closed the door and he seals it up. Because God said, only you and your family. And look who benefited. His sons' wives, the whole family, the whole lineage, the pedigree of Noah was preserved because of his faithfulness in God. They all experienced God's promise. The testimony of Noah to his family was received. And when they received it, they benefited from it. And even that, those who married into the family benefited. And that is the way God works. God will do the same in your life. He does the same in my life. You and I need to preserve the pedigree. We need to take hold of the schematic plan of God, the truths of God, and allow God to live through us and bring life to us. One person's faith and obedience can have a profound impact on both our immediate families and the broader community. Noah's actions not only preserved his family, but also served as a testament to God's righteousness and judgment. God does what he says he's going to do. He does the things that he promises to do. And you and I can benefit from those truths when we obey the plan of God, when we follow the will and the ways of God. Not my will, but thy will be done, is the prayer. Judges 3:31 says, after him, there's a man named Shamgar. He was the son of Anath. It tells us that when they went to battle as the Israelites against the Philistines, that he was able to strike down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Hallelujah. With an ox goad. I should have put a picture of one, but I couldn't find one. It's a tool that they used for gathering and collecting the oxes, like the almost like what is that thing that they put over your neck, the yoke, similar to that, but it's what they use for herding, for like pulling them together. And says that he killed 600 Philistines. Remember, the Philistines were the big guys. The Israelites were the little guys. And he killed 600 of them with this thing. And it says he saved Israel. One man can make a difference. One person can make a difference. If you have to stand alone, there's nothing wrong with having to stand alone. Stand alone because you're never really alone. God is with you. God has your back. You are able to persevere and overcome. Then there's Eleazar, who was one of David's mighty men, one of his warriors. I'm sure you remember the story. He was a man who demonstrated relentless courage in battle, and he was relentless at carrying out the will of God, the plan of God. Under David's authority, it tells us that Eleazar, the son of Dodo, could you imagine going through life with that name? Here's a guy who suffered some. Your father was a dodo. He was an Ahoite. Oh, my Lord. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there in battle against him, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. He rose up and he strikes the Philistines until his hand was weary. It says, and it was stuck. It was frozen to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. In fact, in the story, the Israelites started to withdraw. And he says, you're going the wrong way, guys. We can take them. Let's go. And he goes in the name of the Lord. And these guys saw his success, and they said, all right, come on. They all turned around and ran in after him, but he was already done. And they just came to reap all of the spoil. And the saints of God, when God is with you, you can overcome when you have relentless faith, when you persevere in God, when you are determined to do what the will of the Lord is in order to follow the plan of God. James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. That means in difficult times, in times of hardship, or when there's opposition, when you don't feel like it, oh, I don't feel like it. You got to rise up and you got to persevere in order to fulfill the will of God. You can't be a willy wuss. Yeah, look that up. You've got to have perseverance. You've got to have determination because you know what the will of the Lord is. Noah did not know when the rain was going to come, but he knew he needed to have that boat done before it started. And so he persevered. He kept working day in and day out. It didn't matter what people said. Once we have been approved, we will receive the crown of life. The saints of God, there's a crown waiting for you. There is a crown of life waiting for you because the Lord has promised it to you. He loves you. He cares for you. His desire is to see you prevail. That's why he left you the schematic so you can have the plans. You will know how to live when everybody else is making up stuff, trying to figure things out. God has given you the way of escape. He's given you a plan of life that will enable you to persevere and overcome. I pray that you know the power of God. When the opposition comes and you feel the weight and the burden of the task of life, when you feel like you're overwhelmed because you're carrying so many things that need to be carried in order to enable your kids to succeed or your marriage to work or things to be able to improve as you move forward in life, it may seem overwhelming. It may seem like it's just too much to bear. But know that it's just a temporary weight because there's a day coming when you will be free. You will be released from the pressure, from the oppression, from the bondage, from the ridicule, from all of the opposition. You will find yourself in a place where your testimony will prove true. And the Spirit of God will demonstrate the faithfulness of God in your life. And so, saints of God, don't give up. Preserve the pedigree of the Spirit of God in your life, in your house, for your family's sake, for your community's sake, so that you can be the witness that God has called you to be and know the power of God for yourself. And God will not let you down. He will not fail you. He will show that he is with you always, even to the end of the earth. So focus on the mission. Build that ark. Complete the call of God, the task of God, and let God do a new thing in you and your whole household. Preserve the pedigree and see the faithfulness of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. In the valley. God raise the mountain. Oh, yes. I'll praise the valley. Oh! praise and I thunder. Praise the Father.
His praise is the water. My enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. I praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul.
Well, saints of God, as you go out, know that you are not alone. The Lord your God is with you. And we know that even as Elijah told his servant, he said, there are more who are with us than those who are against us. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You just need relentless faith. You just need perseverance and determination. And if you are able to rise up in the strength and wisdom and the power of God, He will never let you down. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. He is your strength and your power. Let God's plan work out in your life. Submit yourself to God, and you will see the work of God manifested. He will prove Himself. He will show Himself. Trust Him. Don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He will make your way straight. And God will cause you to prosper as you obey the will and the ways of the Lord. And His glory will fill every aspect of your life so that you can be a testimony to this world as to the faithfulness and the truth of God and His word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would simply pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Renew my mind and give me a hunger and a thirst for you. Give me a desire to read your word and to fellowship with fellow believers who would be willing to follow the plan of God for their lives. And that I would be the person you've called me to be. That I could be free of the burdens and the weights that would oppress, hinder, and bind me from reaching my greatest potential. But that I might be the person you've called me to be, fulfilling the will of God in my life. In Jesus' name I pray and I receive you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I praise when I feel it, and I praise when I don't. Praise because I know you're still in control. Hallelujah. My praise is a weapon. It's more.